Hi, this is Pastor Eric Dalma from Gospel of Grace Fellowship. It is our privilege to present to you this classic CIC radio broadcast. We pray that God uses it to encourage you in the gospel and equip you to discern truth from error.
This is Dick Cuffell, your host for the next half hour. We're speaking today with Bob DeWay. Our topic today is Theophostics, Unbiblical Teaching Wedded to Mystical Experience, and this is part one. Robert, we have an interesting topic, a difficult topic. Why did you select it?
Because at the time when I did my research for this, they were having their international convention here in Minneapolis area. And so some people sent me a tape, sent me materials, because they were concerned that this was coming into their own churches. And so I decided to research this to see what the issues were and whether this was a biblical ministry or not.
They actually met at one of the local churches in the suburbs, wasn't it?
Yeah, right, a really big church.
The concepts were lie-based pain and performance-based spirituality and first memory interpretation. Are these biblical concepts?
Well, what he does is use terms that sound somewhat the same as what you'd read in the Bible, but with different meanings in how he uses them. You can read about pain in the Bible, and you certainly can read about lies in the Bible. And you can certainly read about our thinking in the Bible. But whether lie-based thinking, which is one of the most important concepts in theophostic ministry, I don't believe that whole concept's in the Bible at all. So there's where you run into your problem. He uses terms and changes the categories.
Well, we're going to explore this in pretty much detail a little bit later on. But when we think in terms of CIC, Critical Issues Commentary, what's our purpose?
Well, our purpose is to help people become Bereans by searching the scriptures to see if these things are true, looking at religious claims, theological ideas, comparing them to the teaching of scripture, and helping people understand more clearly the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Excellent, because this is another one of those inroads, a teaching that's coming into the church that is not biblical, and we're just trying to alert people to this.
Well, not only that, the claims that they make are amazing. I mean, just grandiose claims. Claims that you can be free from sin totally. Claims that you can have maintenance-free, struggle-free, total victory without any emotional pain. I got interested in this because I heard stories from people who had their lives destroyed by this ministry.
So there's a risk.
Well, there's a downside.
Okay.
Since I wrote this article back in 2003, I've heard from others who had their lives destroyed by this. And so there's a backlash out there.
Okay. Well, let's get into the specifics. What is theophostic? You had an opening line in the paragraph in the paper you wrote that said, it's false teaching dressed up in psychological garb. I like the line, false teaching dressed up in psychological garb, but that isn't really the definition. How would you define it?
The way they would define it is bringing God's light, that's where this theophostic term means, God's light, bringing God's light to a person's first memory event and their interpretation of that event. In order to not confuse our listeners, we need to give a couple of definitions right up front here.
Okay.
Because theophostics depends on these definitions.
All right.
There's a theory that underlies the entire ministry of theophostic ministry.
What is it?
The theory is that our emotional reactions to things now are determined by our interpretation of a first memory event.
Now, that means that something happened to me a long time ago, usually.
Whatever the first memory of a similar event, okay? And sometimes these are unknown and have to be recovered. So you also dip into recovery of memories, which is problematic in its own regard. But let's just assume for the sake of defining this that in this case a person remembers it. Let's say they were abused as a child. And according to Dr. Smith, when a person has a traumatic memory, he or she will interpret that a certain way. And that becomes their permanent self-understanding. So let's say someone was abused and their interpretation was, I'm unclean, I'm a wicked person, I deserve this.
Okay, in a memory, then that's an indelible mark. It's there.
They have the memory and they have the interpretation. Now, lie-based pain, which is another one of their categories, would be associated with living your life thinking that you're evil, thinking that you deserved it, thinking that there's something wrong with you because of your interpretation of that first memory event. So that, in a nutshell, is the problem that they're trying to solve.
That gives us the background. Now, theophostics comes in and does something about that.
Yeah, their idea is to get the person to uncover this memory, to actually recreate the feeling of the pain. They encourage that. And so sometimes this gets very traumatic or very emotional, but they want that person to just almost, in a sense, relive the event and go through the feelings and the thoughts. What are you thinking? And then they are going to pray and ask Jesus to go back to that person in that event and give them a new interpretation. And then they're hoping to get some special revelation from God to reinterpret the event.
Does it become a reinterpretation or a recreation?
Well, it starts with a recreation in the sense of the feeling. But then the healing supposedly comes when the person hears Jesus personally speak to them and saying, you're not evil, it's not your fault, you're a good person, or whatever it is that they hear in this inner revelation that supposedly breaks this whole power of the lie-based thinking over them, and they're able to then go forth in total freedom, at least in that area. Now, there may be 10, 20, 30, or 100 different memories that have lies attached to them, and it seems kind of one of the problems with this is I don't know how anyone would ever know they'd gotten through all of them. But nevertheless, supposedly in this one area, now this person is free, and according to Dr. Smith, maintenance free. They don't need any further help in this area. They will be free, permanently so, without any special effort.
You had made a comment in the paper that said theophostics is a subjective experience that reinterprets a memory.
Yes.
And I thought, man, that's really something, because it's like painting something with a thicker paint. It's still there.
Yeah, the memory's still there, but now supposedly it means something different. And part of the training that they put people through, and there's evidently some danger to this because they warn not to do this without training. But they also are calling it prayer ministry. So one of the things we've said, and I have a DVD that I did on this. I spoke at a seminary.
Yes.
Because it was coming into a certain denomination. And they wanted me to speak to their seminary students and professors about the dangers and problems. And we ended up making a DVD out of that. But in that, I was pointing out that, you know, what kind of prayer comes with a warning that it could be dangerous?
Okay.
In some regard, you know, it sounded very innocuous. You're just going to meet Jesus. You're going to hear from God. You're going to pray. It's just a prayer ministry, something that lay people can do in the church. But then they also come with this, you have to go through all the training. And if you don't, it could be dangerous. It could be harmful. And again, that's probably true because we have been contacted by a number of people who had their families destroyed by this. One person was convinced that she was a victim of satanic ritual abuse, and it never happened.
Wow.
It wasn't even true. And so theophostic ministry drove a wedge between her and her family by causing her to think things happened that never did happen. I've heard from several people around the world that have had the same thing in their experience.
Well, what you're saying up to this point, though, is that the Holy Spirit replays the memory, it's vivid and emotional, and then reveals truth, if you will, to the person.
Right.
Okay. That's what it is. That's theophostic. What is it not?
What is not is something that comes from the Bible at all. The categories aren't even addressed in the Bible. See, don't be fooled. These terms like pain and truth and freedom, those terms are found in the Bible. But the concept of a first memory event is not addressed anywhere in the entire scriptures. And being how this idea is the bedrock theory for theophostic ministry, and it's found nowhere in the Bible, then you can't make a claim that this was derived from the Bible, because the Bible never even discusses this. It's a 21st century or late 20th century psychological theory that's not even unique to theophostic ministry. There are other teachings out there in the world of psychology that would believe similarly that some first memory event may be determinative of your future emotional well-being. But that's a psychological theory that either rises or falls with whatever scientific proof there may be for it. Interestingly, Dr. Smith doesn't offer any scientific proof. There's no footnotes that will show psychological journal articles, research, double-blind testing. There's nothing like that. So he makes no claim that it's scientific. He does make a claim that it's biblical, but it is not biblical. So it doesn't come from the Bible. It doesn't come from any kind of valid science. observing general revelation. I talk about this on that DVD. So where did it come from?
Psychology, I suspect.
Well, no, because if you had a valid scientific... No, I don't put much stock in psychology.
Oh, really?
Right. But I actually talked on the phone to Dr. Martin Bobkin about this whole thing.
Yes.
Who wrote a book on it. Very delightful gentleman. And he says there are plenty of valid insights in research psychology. It's the practical version of it that's such a major problem. The research will a lot of times show that these psychological theories don't work.
Isn't the concept behind theophostics is ultimately they want to get rid of fault and negative thoughts? That's basically what's happening.
The bottom line is to remove emotional pain. That's the bottom line. And the claims are amazing that if you still have emotional pain, they accuse you of being performance-oriented. For example, let's say you do have some pain in your life. Is it a sin to have emotional pain? I don't believe so. Paul had it. He said he had continual sorrow in his heart, right, over the lost condition of his Jewish brethren. But they would say that if you have emotional pain, but go to church, smile, treat people right, praise God, that you're just guilty of performance orientation, that you're being a fraud, you're trying to act good when there's really problems on the inside. In a sense, they nearly equate emotional pain with sin itself. But not really, because he says Christians have no sin. The sin nature is gone. So what you're dealing with is pain and not sin. That's another one of their bad theologies.
Okay. Well, if we were examining the premise even further, and we've already been doing that to some degree, you had a two-part expression that said that emotionally charged events shaped our future and caused the lie-based pain, and repressed memories have the same effect.
Yes, according to their theory.
You went at it from a perspective of, but if that's not true, what then?
That's very problematic. In both cases, there's a problem. Let's just say we do have a memory that's valid.
Okay.
The event really happened.
I agree.
Okay. It still doesn't prove that our present responses are determined by that memory.
Exactly.
That's just a theory that he offers no proof for the validity of. So we just take it on blind faith that this theory is true because he doesn't point to anybody's study, any group where they took two different groups of people and try to see the differences based on using this theory and using somebody else's theory. There's nothing like that. If there is such a thing, he doesn't reference it. So we're taking on blind faith that this theory is true. Well, why would I believe that? Why would I invest in it? Why would I turn my soul over to somebody like this to manipulate?
Well, let's go after the idea of how do we know a premise is true?
It's either revealed in the Bible or it's observable in general revelation.
So it's special revelation or general revelation. All right.
So we have neither one here. So what we have is what the Bible calls the occult, secret things that belong to God.
Is he moving in that direction?
I have issued the challenge on this now for 2 years, and I've interacted with people that believe this. I've gotten phone calls from people that believe it. I've got long emails, some of them rather irate with me. And I've asked all of them the same question over and over again. Where is the proof that this basic bedrock theory, first memory event and our interpretation of it, determines our later well-being? Where is the proof of your theory?
What does he do with that?
Well, their answer is the proof is in all of these thousands of satisfied customers that we have.
I think we call it anecdotal evidence, right?
Right. And that's the only answer I've gotten from anybody. It works. Of course, then you got the people say it didn't work, it destroyed their lives. So then which anecdote do you believe, the ones that didn't work or the ones that did? I always respond the same way. I never said it didn't work. I said it wasn't from God. People do similar things, and some websites have pointed out the similarities. There are other similar theories out there that aren't even claiming to be Christian. So my point is this. Why should somebody believe this? Why should somebody invest in it? Why should somebody turn their soul over to one of these people that are doing this ministry? On what grounds? Since it can't be proven to be biblical, and we don't know whether it's even true, what if it works because it's leading us into some worse delusion and Satan is more than happy to make us feel good in our delusion?
It's not biblical. We shouldn't be doing it. That's true.
Yes.
Theophostics and subjectivism. The principle behind theophostics is what we feel reveals what we believe. That's a statement that was made in the paper. I think it's a statement made by Smith. What's wrong with that?
It's just utter subjectivism.
Okay.
And we couldn't live that. If we really believed that, we'd become emotionally crippled.
Aren't we driven by emotions?
Well, if we are, we should get over it.
Oh, okay.
No, the point is he's making it impossible to get over being driven by your emotions because he makes them determinative. If you don't feel happy or joyful or friendly, then that's your reality. And if you go and, like we all have to do for mature people, get up in the morning, go to work, and treat people right because it's the right thing to do. Let's say I'm having a bad day, but it's Sunday and I go to church. Should I just go to church and be grumpy and nasty to everybody so I'm not being a hypocrite? Or is it our duty to show kindness and love to other people and care about their needs more than our own simply because that's the truth and that's what God said? And if I started believing that my emotions were more true than God's word, I'd be crippled. How would you know that you were even saved? Because your own salvation would be dependent on day by day whether you feel Christian or not.
So your basic thing is that we're going toward objectivity, not subjectivity.
Yeah, he's leading people totally away from it. And furthermore, the things that God's provided for us as Christians, every one of them, Dr. Smith, belittles anytime he gets a chance. He starts his whole book out with a story about a lady who was in Christian fellowship, Bible study, prayer, doing the things that God tells Christians to do. And he says, but it didn't work. It didn't work. Well, why doesn't it work? Well, she still has pain. Doing our Christian duty, he really says, is just a performance orientation and it's psychologically damaging. But going into some unbiblical, subjective ministry where you're going to get secret knowledge from God as if God were going to dispense this when we ask for it, that's a good thing. But studying the Bible, it's okay. He's not against it. It's just not going to do you any good.
Can you comment on 1 John 3, verses 18 through 20?
Here's what it says. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. For we shall know by this that we are of the truth and assure our heart before him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now notice here, the objective is what's important, not the subject.
Exactly.
And so if I love with word, or not just with word, but in deed and truth, in other words, I actually do acts of Christian charity toward other people, that's a good thing. All right?
Smith is teaching the opposite.
Yeah. Well, he's refuting these verses.
Absolutely.
Don't be fooled, listeners. This theophostic ministry has nothing to do with any valid version of the teachings of the New Testament. He tries to prove that Jesus did theophostic ministry on Peter. I kid you not.
Oh,
well, let me show you. Let's just show how desperate they are to try to make this thing look like it's from the Bible when it obviously isn't. He says this. The whole incident was about when Peter denied the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times, and Peter didn't believe that was going to happen. So this proves that Peter was a victim of lie-based thinking, and that Jesus wanted to expose his lie-based thinking.
Wow.
Here's what Smith said, quote, "Let me explain how this passage reveals many of what I describe as theophostic principles. First, Jesus exposed Peter's lie-based thinking, and he tries to prove that from John 21:15-22. And then he goes on and says this, he, Jesus, was triggering and stirring up Peter's memory-based pain by way of association. Listen, he's presuming this first memory event and lie-based pain was true for Peter when the Bible says not one word that that's what was Peter's problem. So Smith from afar is doing a diagnosis of the apostle Peter, and then he has Jesus doing theophostic ministry by triggering Peter's lie-based pain. Now, is this reading into the scripture?
I think so.
You can't do this. It's self-validating of Smith.
Okay.
I want to find this in the Bible, so I'm just going to make Jesus into a theophostic ministry counselor without proving that the basic ideas were ever there anywhere in the Gospels, because they are not.
Okay, to take the counter, the Good Samaritan.
All through the Bible.
Yeah. That's one.
Who did the will of God? What about the one who said he would do it and didn't do it, and the other one said he wouldn't and did? Who did the will of God? Our actions are very important, and doing the right thing, even when we're hurting, is commended in the Bible.
Well, the other couple other examples that you had in the paper are pretty good. Christ quoting Psalm 22.
Why have you forsaken me? So yes. Here Jesus has emotional pain.
Yes.
But emotional pain is the one thing to be avoided at all costs, according to Dr. Smith.
Absolutely.
And Paul had emotional pain. And why would we get the idea that freedom from emotional pain is the goal of the Christian life?
Well, Smith takes it further. He defines peace as being the lack of emotional pain.
Another category here.
Okay.
All right.
Explain that.
The word peace in the New Testament has a range of meanings. All right.
Yes.
When it talks about peace as the fruit of the Spirit, we got to start with the most basic meaning. The most basic meaning of peace comes from the Old Testament concept, shalom. These are Jews that are writing the New Testament with Jewish ideas, came from the Jewish scriptures. Shalom had to do with being right before God. There's no peace for the wicked, it says in the Bible. Shalom means well-being in the ultimate spiritual sense of being right with God. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying that Jerusalem will become right with God. And there's no peace in the New Testament unless you have a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace. When it talks about having peace with God, for example, in Romans 5, it talks about reconciled enemies. So we had enemy status with God. And in order to have peace, we need to repent and believe the gospel, believing that Jesus died for our sins and his blood averts God's wrath against our sin. And we'll have peace with God in the sense that we're now reconciled enemies. So you have that idea about peace in the New Testament. But what he's using it is a 21st century emotional or psychological definition. And that's not what the biblical writers were thinking about. Now, I would say having peace of mind would be a side effect of being right with God. But being right with God is a legal thing, not an emotional one.
Bob, that's an excellent place for us to stop for this week. Next week, we'll start off with Ed Smith's concept of sin and release, which is a kind of a nice place to begin this thing next time around. Did you have a final comment for today?
What I would suggest for people that are listening to this that maybe run across this or is coming into their church, don't be fooled by these terms because they're changing the meaning of the terms. And so look the term up in the Bible. See whether you can find the idea that's being taught. And if the idea is absent from the writers of Scripture's meaning, then they're using the Bible as just being disingenuous because it didn't come from there anyhow.
Excellent.
We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. We want to remind you of Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.